I'm Paul, an alcoholic. It's good to be here. It's always good to be at an AA meeting. You know, that's, I know where I belong today, and I go to a lot of meetings, and because I'm still a very sick alcoholic, even though I've been around these halls for a while. You know, I still have the problem with my thinking, and I'll probably have that until I'm 6 feet under. So anyway, it took me a year and a half to get sober. You know, other people wanted me to get sober, and I really didn't think I could ever be sober. And there was a couple of detoxes involved, and you know, I would quit drinking at times, and I'd just smoke pot for a couple of years and go back to drinking, because I'd almost kill myself with alcohol where I couldn't drink anymore, and I smoked pot. So I figured, you know, I could quit drinking as long as I could have the pot, you know. And in fact, I went to Beach Hill in New Hampshire on a Friday afternoon, emptied a pack of cigarettes, rolled about 20 joints, and put them in the pack of cigarettes and brought them to Beach Hill with me. And I was in my early, probably mid-20s at that time. And I remember I got them in there with me because I would have remembered if they took them away from me. And so that was on a Friday afternoon. And everybody in there was like twice my age. They had the robes on that they couldn't tie properly in the back, so their butts were hanging out. They had the paper slippers on that were doing the shuffle. I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. You know, I ended up there through a marriage counselor. And so anyway, you know, the deal was, he thought, you know, I'd go into convulsions or whatever, you know, so he said I needed to go to a detox to get off the alcohol. And so anyway, Sunday, you know, I called my wife and said, you know, come pick me up, I'll go to AA, and because that was the deal. I knew I had to come to AA, and you know, my back was against the wall. And so anyway, you know, I went to an AA meeting. I got there late. I knew nothing about AA. And you know, I put on a suit coat and necktie. I thought it was like a job interview or a first day of school or something, you know. And I got there late. I'm sure I got high before I went. And I sat in the back row, and I don't remember hearing a thing. It was this big speaker meeting over in 6A in Barnesville they used to have on Monday nights. And so anyway, the guy, you could see me coming. I was bloated. I was red-faced and everything. You could just see me coming. And the guy next to me, I wouldn't remember him if I saw him today, but he told me I'd wanted to meet a particular person before I left that meeting that night. And he said that at the break, and he pointed the guy out to me, and the guy was up by the podium talking to a couple other guys, and they were joking and they were laughing and they were like thrilled with life and happy to be there and everything else. And I couldn't fathom that. I was like, you know, I was sentenced to AA. It's like, what am I gonna do now? You know, I can't drink anymore, and doesn't this really suck, you know? And that's what my thinking was at the time. I didn't want to be sober. And so anyway, I did meet him that night, and he got my phone number like he was supposed to do. And he picked me up and started bringing me to meetings. And, you know, 5 minutes before he picked me up, I would smoke a joint, you know. And I'm sure after, you know, a week or two, we could smell the pot. I wasn't talking to him. I didn't want to be in AA. I wouldn't talk to anybody at the meetings. I had no idea what the speaker was saying because I was high, you know. And so he quit picking me up. He quit calling, you know. He tried. It wasn't working. So, you know, he was moving on to the next guy. And so, you know, and that was the beginning of my AA, and I didn't go back to AA for over a year. And I just continued smoking pot. I did get drunk one night. I got some vodka and just a pint of something. I didn't get, you know, blackout, falling out drunk like I usually do. And, you know, and the next day I never wanted to drink so bad in my life. The wife didn't know I had drank. But the next day was the Barnesville Fair, and we had a daughter, and so we had to go during the day to see the chickens, the pigs, the cows, the whole nine yards. I was dying for a drink. I couldn't drink. I didn't have the opportunity to drink. I never wanted to drink so bad in my life. I was dying for a drink, and You know, I got through that day and just continued smoking pot, you know. But, you know, I have this disease where, you know, my relationships suck with people. So I got in a fight with the wife one night and tried to take our daughter out of her arms when she said she was going to bed with her. And I said, no, she's going to bed with me. And so she ended up calling the cops, saying I hit her and stuff like that. She just had enough of me and wanted me out, you know. So the cops came, you know, put some clothes in the garbage bag, and out the door I went. And so anyway, I didn't know what to do. I ended up calling that counselor that I saw before. And he, you know, I didn't tell him about the pot, but he said, you never did anything about your sobriety. You never got involved in AA or anything like that. And so he said, give me a couple of days. You got someplace you can go? I said, yeah, I'll go, but I'm not sure. Stay with my parents. So I did that, and he was able to get me into Edgehill down in Newport, Rhode Island. And so I don't think I had any pot, because I probably would have brought it with me if I had it, you know. But I went down there, and I checked in, and the place was gorgeous. It was like, you know, I had a little duck pond outside my room. I had a room all to myself, like a Holiday Inn room, you know. It was around all these estates, across the street from the water in Newport and stuff. And like, but I was willing. The wife was serious this time. She was filing for divorce, and so I knew it was like, oh my God, you know. I didn't know what to do. I was in so much pain. You know, they started teaching us a little bit about alcoholism. They gave us the literature and stuff like that. And so, you know, I knew it was a spiritual program, so I did a lot of time praying in there. I spent half the day praying on my knees by myself. They gave me a little acceptance booklet in there, and I was reading that constantly over and over. And I got some relief doing that, you know. And by the time I got out of there, you know, I stayed for the 30-day program, and I was feeling a little bit better, you know. And I moved back to the North Shore, tried living with Mom and Dad. That didn't work, you know. And so I moved in with a friend of mine whose father was in AA, and he had just purchased a house. He wasn't married or anything. And I rented a room from him in his house. And my sister got me a Get Well job painting. So I started painting for this painter, and we're painting all these estates on the North Shore and stuff. And so after a few months of doing that, I was going to meetings, I was asking for help, and my emotions were calming down. I was starting to come around. I was starting to feel better. I was starting to look better. So anyway, the friend I was living with is friends with my wife. She's not my ex-wife, but anyway, they had a conversation. He was telling her how well I was doing, because when I was in detox, we weren't allowed to speak to each other. I was like, she'd have rage on the phone. I'd be begging for forgiveness, like, I'm never going to do anything again. I'm going to be a saint, you know. And they're like, at the detox, they put an end to that. So anyway, we weren't talking to each other. So they had a phone conversation, and he talked me into talking to her. And so we talked on the phone, and it was a good conversation. Like I said, you know, we have a daughter, so we made arrangements so I come down the Cape. You know, I went into this detox probably in October, and now it's like, you know, my sobriety is February 7th, so it was right before that. And so we got together for the weekend. You know, I came down the Cape. You know, I married this girl whose mother had a few houses here, and I was living in one of her houses with the wife and the kid, and I wasn't paying any rent because I was basically unemployable at the end. And you know, so, you know, I went, came down the Cape, you know, and she lost like 20 pounds doing laps around the house, you know, wondering what she was going to do with her life, you know, and she was looking great, you know. I was like, oh my God, you know. And so we got along great that whole weekend, you know, for a couple of days there. It was like Saturday morning. I got up, I got on my knees, I asked for help like I'm supposed to do. Went to an AA meeting that night, and I came back from the meeting, and there's a screaming match on the phone. She's screaming and yelling with somebody. I mean, she still has rage today, so I mean, she's unbelievable, but whatever. But she was on the phone with her mother. Her mother couldn't believe that she took me back. You know, like, you know, I'm a nightmare to live with, being an alcoholic. We knew each other for 10 years before we got married. You know, different relationships broke up, shit like that. But anyway, her mother knew what I was like, you know, and she was wild. I was back in her house with her daughter. And so anyway, and so the wife, when she hung up the phone, it was one of these old wall phones, you know, and she hung it up, the phone was flying off the wall. She, like, slammed it down, the receiver on the phone, and I was like, oh, shit, you know, and I was like, she said, you wait here on the couch. I got to go tell my mother you changed. And out the door she went, and, like, you know, I don't have any coping skills, you know, nothing's, like, happened like this in my sobriety, you know what I mean? It's like, there was no conflicts or anything with people. Things were going pretty smooth for a few months, and, you know, people that cared about me and stuff. So anyways, like, I was sitting on the couch, I was like, what's going to happen to me now? My family sent me to Iowa at one point to get rid of me, you know, people always wanted to get rid of me, and, nobody wants anything to do with an alcoholic. We just destroy people's lives. So I understand that today, why people want to get rid of us. So anyway, you know, I was sitting on the couch and I was like, and I got up and I went to the bathroom and the bottle of codeine cough syrup in the cabinet. And I got the bottle of codeine cough syrup and downed it. Now, I had no desire to drink before that. You know, I woke up in the morning. Everything was doing great. I was getting along with the wife. I asked for help, went to a meeting that night. We were getting along all day, doing stuff for around the house and stuff. And it was like, just like that, boom, you know, I'm high again, you know. And it's like, it happens that quick, you know. And like, so anyway, she came back and she said, my mother bought it, you know. Like, we're going to live happily ever after. Like, she bought that I changed. And I'm like, oh my God, you know. Like, I didn't change. And so I didn't tell her what I had done. I just rolled my eyes and got up and went to bed, you know. And when I got up in the morning, I had all the bad feelings back, all the remorse, shame, guilt, terrible person, terrible father, terrible husband, terrible son, whatever it is. I just, like, I'm the worst person in the world, you know. But I knew I belonged in AA. So thank God I knew that much. So I got up and I went to an AA meeting. I couldn't look at anybody, I couldn't talk to anybody, but I went to an AA meeting. And I left that meeting, and I went to church and sat in church for a while, where I got married, Our Lady of Victory here in Centerville, wondering, what am I speaking for? But whatever. I was told to record myself tonight and stop, but maybe that's just as well. So anyway, there's nothing like being sober, you know. It's a bitch trying to get sober, you know. And I can understand that, you know, everything in that year and a half helped me to get sober. You know, smoking the pot and you cut those detoxes. It was just a process I had to go through. Thank God there was a 30-day program where I could go and be locked up to be separated from that stuff. You know, I don't know if I could have done it just going to meetings. I don't think I could have, you know. And, you know, I believe in, you know, the alcoholic being hospitalized. I don't know about so much about these spin drives or these halfway houses. I look at halfway houses like you're just living with other sick and suffering alcoholics. I don't know how healthy that is. But, you know, being locked up in a hospital, I needed that, you know. I needed to take care of myself and get away from the outside world in the beginning, you know. And it's still a slow process of me recovering from this stuff. I'm not all better. I'm definitely not all better. So anyway, it's good to be here. Thanks.